Hey, comedian Adam Newman here, letting you know about Pussy Boys, a brand new podcast I co-host with my funny friends where real men talk about their love of cats. So tune into Pussy Boys on the Seltzer Kings Network and like, listen, subscribe, write us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. That's Pussy Boys, all Z's. Trust me, you don't want to go where the S's take you. It's gross.
A lot of spam talk on this episode of Danny and Mike presents
Meet in the Can. Can't go wrong. Can't go wrong with Meet in the Can.
Spiced ham.
Yeah. All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's get this episode started. Welcome to the Adventures of Danny and Mike. To my left, Mr. Michael C. Marona.
White t-shirt, what's up?
And to his left, Mr. Danny Tamborelli.
Black t-shirt, sup?
And my name's Jeremy. Thank you all so much for tuning in. We are blessed, hashtag blessed, to have a very special guest with us today. He has a new film out on Amazon Video you should check out called The Haunting of Grady Farm. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Shane Hartline's here. What's up, Shane?
Straight white male. What's up?
how are you?
Dude, guys, it's an honor to do this. I got to be real up front. And I don't, you know, I blow smoke sometimes, so I'm going to blow some more smoke right now. You know, to be real, this is an honor to do a podcast with Jeremy Balin.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that.
No, I'm excited to be here.
You're one of two.
Enjoy that. For the first 30 seconds, you had Marona fucking just in the palm of your hand. I love this so much. Just give me more. Jeremy?
Well, let's get back there. What do I need to do?
You know him from things. Yeah, I don't know. I
can more start smoke. Over, more I guess. Smoke.
Yeah, yeah. Well, welcome to the show. It's very long overdue, and thanks for hanging. And it looks like you got a little factory there. And if you for the video watcher, you have a Turtles arcade game behind.
Oh, yeah.
You.
Yeah,
that's amazing.
I'm kind of assembling like my dream office scenario. Oh. We just got a new apartment in Pasadena. So for the first time I have a little room for my office. And I've kind of acquired all these things over the years that have just sat in storage because, you know, 400 square foot apartments in Los Angeles your girlfriend doesn't want little arcade one-ups in the living room. So,
but it's NBA Jam.
I know. I told her, Danny, and she wasn't having it.
I was just going to ask. Now I see the NBA leather on the side.
He's
I got NBA Jam and Ninja Turtles, and I gotta stop because
I believe it's Turtles in Time.
It has both. What? It has the first one and the second one. Mm-hmm.
Wow. Very, very cool. Very cool. Sorry, you were saying you gotta stop, Shane.
I gotta stop though, because the company, and not a sponsor. They're great. Like, they keep putting out like the hits, and it's like I want every one of them, but yeah. They're a little pricey and they're very hard to assemble.
This is a newer one. You didn't go the vintage route. You went the newer route.
The little
technology.
Mini. They're, I mean, not miniature. They're pretty. I mean, they're about like
they look huge. Yeah,
4.5 feet.
You know, the camera adds, you know, 6-7 inches easily.
Yeah, for sure.
The thing is, they're still using tube TVs, so it's very heavy.
Oh, CRT Hunter. That's what I do. That's what I'd like to do on weekends, bro. Is I go to garage sales and find CRTs.
Yeah, ooh, hell yeah.
Or trash.
No, they're pretty sick. I like them.
No.
I hope you have them fixed so you don't have to put a quarter in all the time.
Oh, no, I do. Wait, what? That's a thing?
I guess I have the franchise where I get to go and empty the quarters out every couple of months.
I'm your last client, I think.
The last stop on the route.
What were you going to say, Danny?
I was just going to say, you've got a really great beautiful background for your Zoom, and that's why Mike hides his with the Liverpool Football Club. He doesn't want you to know he's in his, he doesn't want you to know he's in his kitchen.
Don't tell that's everybody okay. how I live.
No shame, no shame. But it's good to see you guys. Like, I mean, I haven't seen Michael since the one night that we got to hang out. What? 3 years ago, 2 years ago, something like that. Something crazy.
Back in LA, you're talking about.
Yeah, back in LA and or over here. And so, yeah, first of all, it's good to see you guys.
We're still kicking.
We're still here. Everybody. We're still here.
Still yeah. kicking. Hey, man, things are looking up, right?
Yeah, a little bit.
Things will turn out right.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Right?
Thinking about it.
I mean, come on.
I mean,
a little bit.
We'll
better
see where
than
it
they,
goes.
Better than they were. Like a week ago or so at this time, it was not
hey day
good.
By
not
day, man. Day by yeah. day.
That's good.
I think that's a song. You should try to work on that.
Day,
really?
The day.
Day yeah. by day.
Because Danny, I've always wanted to be a singer.
Day.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
All right.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm just kidding.
It's okay. We're having fun here.
I'm just trying to be nostalgic because we're on a podcast with two kids who were on TV when they were in the 90s.
Yeah, yeah.
Shane Hartline makes videos
and Shane Hartline.
Screaming about Nickelodeon what? Magazine, please.
What
that's
you,
our, that's, exactly. our, that's our that's our Nickelodeon
is that
connection.
How you stumbled across media? Is that one of the yeah. ones that you noticed?
I think so.
Danny
yeah.
searches his own name and that's how he found
it. Danny, Nickelodeon, Pete and Pete.
Who's this guy Shane? Cool. Oh, he likes me.
Yes, yes. Hey, man, what's up? We're talking about is Danny and I.
Vine.
Yeah. Yeah, we met on
yeah.
Vine. The Vine generation.
The Vine generation. It
generation
came and
Vine.
Went
That's
super quickly. Yeah.
I wanted TikTok or whatever to be the next generation, but it just is not cool to me.
They're their own thing.
I'm too old.
Why yeah. aren't you guys on the TikTok?
You're on the TikTok?
Do you love the TikTok.
Really?
Yeah.
Jeremy tried to, and then they made him upload a copy of his driver's license.
Yeah, but yeah.
He was rejected.
Cock ring size.
Anybody,
yeah, a little
anybody
bit.
Anybody has an AARP card, they're not allowed to be.
Disqualified. That's so unfair. Highly ageist. Very ageist.
Oh, boy.
No, so, man. TikTok is surprisingly enjoyable to me. I didn't think I was going to like it, and it's legit. I think they went through, obviously, a while ago, and there's still a lot of it on TikTok. There's like a lot of weird content, but that could be the same could be said for any platform. But there's also a lot of really good content, and I think it's such an interesting platform in that it's one of the very few and maybe only platforms that it's for the creator in a sense that, like, I have a friend that does like foodie content and she's like blown up because, well, she's talented, but also she's blown up, because she, I'm not joking. She makes lettuce content. Like she does content about comedy and jokes and all kinds of stuff about heads of lettuce. And she went
it's very niche.
Everything on TikTok is like, you're going to hit for one thing. And you got to keep giving your audience that one thing that they're coming for. And so she does. And like, she's got over a million followers on TikTok.
Once the mukbang people picked up on her, she was in. She
yeah.
was in.
I mean, it's a great gig. We all eat. And
is there someone that focuses on cabbage? Because I could be that guy.
Dude,
you could be the cabbage guy.
Danny, I'm a cabbage guy. I would be like, I know. Cabbage all this coleslaw, cabbage that, cabbage this.
You gotta get this. Sponsored by Nose Clips.
I'm gonna say this, Danny. You know what? The acting and the voiceover is one thing, but like cabbage content is your untapped gem.
I thought I loved him for GTA 5 and the Magic School Bus, but it was really all about those leaves.
Came for the GTA 5, stayed. For the cabbage.
Stay for the cabbage.
stay for the roughage.
That, I mean, that's your Twitter. That's your TikTok bio right there. Like, that's all it needs to say.
I could definitely see Danny lip syncing along to different like metal standards of the 90s. I could see him banging his head to various things, or even just classic stuff.
That would be very fun.
I think my goal of this episode is to convince Danny to get a TikTok.
I think how many minutes in are we? I think we have to add to the goal because we achieved it already. It's like GoFundMe that makes 20 G's right away.
I didn't add it.
I tried to put all the man boobs videos up on TikTok just as like a
primer. They rejected them and they were like, this seems like mature content.
Well, people love them. We got at least 15 followers.
There's like some, and, you know, we can talk off air if you want some TikTok tips, but there's like
Is that your new catchphrase?
Three T's, babe.
That's my side business.
TikTok tips.
You want some TikTok tips?
Lane Moore is your Tinder bio tweaker. She will help you. She will help your online dating profiles. And Shane Hartline will give you TikTok tips.
I'll give you TikTok tips. But I've noticed, like, because I was doing that at the beginning first when I had a TikTok account, I would just toss up existing clips. But I think people on TikTok can tell it, like, if you're just like putting up stuff without any effort put into it, right, and they usually don't connect to that thing. But then there's some ways you can like re-edit it.
Sometimes it took like 6 hours to make a 7 second Vine.
You're right, dude. And I think that was, I love them. What I love most about Vine is like the original, the beginning of Vine when it was like, you remember it was, you could only record by touching the screen. There was,
yeah, you had to hold it down.
You had to hold it down and there was no uploading clips. You know, you had to get really creative. And I think that's what made it a fun platform. So if you wanted to add in music, it was a lot like when we would film little goofy skits back in the day. Danny loves the word skit. When you would shoot goofy things back in the day, I would like hold like a little, like a CD player, or a boombox up next to the phone.
Yeah.
Next to whatever we're filming on or, you know, and that's what I liked about it. And I think that's why everything kind of started changing when you can upload anything to Vine and stuff. So
it's all different now. You can't upload nothing to Vine these days.
No more Vine.
Jeremy threw his back out constantly carrying the reel to reel next to his phone while shooting Vines.
We only did a few for Danny and Mike, but man, were they remarkable.
Oh yeah.
One was
the end of Layla Goodfellas.
Yeah. We did one where we all did.
That was totally
cars,
us holding two different phones, like one recording and the other one like, all right, I've got the music on.
Just like a mixtape. Yeah, it's funny that TikTok doesn't do like a press and hold feature like that, like Vine was. They might have that. For old people, like
it's a feature.
The Vine mask.
I have a Vine camera on my second generation iPad. Still got it.
It only works 6 seconds at a time.
Still download the Vine camera. Yeah. I'm pretty sure.
But no, I want to also like, you know, I do want to go back to, you know, blowing some smoke. And I do, but truthfully, you know, I've told Danny this, but I did grow up watching you guys. So this is, it's really cool. It's been really cool to, you know, befriend Danny and, because a huge reason that I got into wanting to be an actor was because I watched you guys and Nickelodeon was the only thing that I was into to the extent, as far as like television, to the extent that I grew up in Florida in a very small town. And before the internet, like I wanted to be an actor when I was a kid, but like back then, you know, before the internet, like, you can't just Google like how do you become an actor.
You had to study the things that inspired you, I guess.
Exactly. So I picked up like a VHS camera when I was 10 years old. I started shooting skits and all kinds of stuff. But like I also would literally pick up the phone, and while you guys may have been shooting at like Universal, I would call Universal Studios and ask them how I get on Nickelodeon shows.
This is great. I've been calling the Trump War Room and asking to talk to Donald and Ivanka.
How's that going?
They keep hanging up on me, but I'm just going to keep trying.
Yeah, exactly.
Is this seamless?
It's just cool, man. It's really cool to like to be here, to be friends with you guys and full circle.
Well, it is full circle, Shane. And you're doing a lot of good shit right now, man. It's great to watch all the good stuff that you got going on.
Oh man, I appreciate it.
Can you talk about?
Sounds like you got a feature. Sounds like you got a feature coming out.
Yeah, we just released. It's been a long time coming. We shot this horror movie in January of 2016. And we just released it a week ago. It's called The Haunting of Grady Farm. You can get on Amazon, iTunes, Vudu, most of the, you know, video on demand platforms. And it's exciting, man. Like, we worked on it for many years, and you guys know, like, first of all, you know how hard it is to finish something. On top of that, how hard it is to finish a feature with like no budget. We shot the movie for 15,000
years.
15,000. It felt like it. No, 15,000 US dollars. But yeah, we shot it in my hometown, which was cool. And I suggest that to any filmmaker that wants to make like their quote unquote first movie or first whatever, go back to your hometown. If it's a small town, like that's not happening a lot. You know, people come together, they get excited, and it's a lot easier to get, you know, access to crazy locations.
They'll be psyched to help you
Shane,
out.
You're very lucky, because I grew up in the area where the Real Housewives of New Jersey are. And so they've ruined everything. Everyone expects thousands of dollars and mucho fucking dinero.
Yeah, if you're not already Buco, you can get the fuck out.
So yeah, it was one of the really cool benefits of, you know, going back home to shoot it, as it was, you know, we had like land donated to us, like multiple locations, people came together and got a fire truck, you know, things that would have just cost us a fortune didn't cost us anything.
People donated hard drives for editing.
Yeah, man. Literally everything. You know, a lot of it was, you know, we did a little bit of money on Indiegogo, but not enough to, you know, cover everything. And then, you know, people really genuinely started coming together to, like, I mean, no joke, donate hard drives and stuff from like an Amazon wish list. There's like, you know, ways that you can make your thing for cheap. But that being said, I also made a short film a year ago, like, that was full budget, that had the entire crew. So I then realized the how important every crew member is, and mm-hmm. and when you're doing a film like The Haunting of Grady Farm that we did, it, you know, you're going to inevitably have to wear 10 hats. And that was a character choice I made, to put on 10 hats as the lead actor. Dumb joke. Not worth it.
You got to protect your brain from the cosmic rays.
Yes, exactly. no, but like, you're going to inevitably become, like, if you're, you know, while you're acting, you might have to be an AD, you know? So it was such, such a learning experience, that I don't know if I would do the same way. Especially after making something where you see just how valuable and important every crew member is in the process. But it was so fun though. Even then, you know, it's like, you know, we look back on like grueling,
schedules.
You know, schedules. And you look, I'm sure you guys have looked back on, film projects or things you've been a part of that, like, at the time was a nightmare, but there's always still a part of it that's like, oh man, it was still so fun. And it was hard, but it was still such a great time. And just the fact that, like, it's finished and out there is the best feeling. Because there were so many years that I didn't know that was going to happen. So yeah, it's really cool.
It's awesome.
I know Danny talked about having this experience shooting a show with Lori Beth Denberg in the mountains of Nevada that seemed kind of hairy, just being remote and stuff like that.
Well, yeah, when you're the closest hospital is like 3-hour drive, so you have to get medevaced if something goes wrong, and you're up like 5,000. I was up over a mile high. I'm not that kind of person.
What was this? Can you talk about it?
Yeah, it's called the Tonopah 5.
Okay.
And we shot like a full season in 2 weeks. And
wow.
It's like, it's Lori Beth's thing. And she asked me if I wanted to be involved. And yeah, it all took place in like this hotel, the Mitzpah Hotel, which actually is haunted, and there's so much fucking. Every ghost show has been there.
Shane, sue his ass. This is obvious.
Where's this going?
It's just going to, you know, it's like a legit place. Like, we were there, and all of these, you know, there was another crew there. So we were able to fit two competing crews. One, like, Travel Channel money, and then one, like, this guy, Bradford, who just, it was like his project. So
had a vision.
Putting the money in there and getting the whole thing. But yeah, I mean,
but it was a pretty tough one.
It was just tough because it was.
Just because you had trouble breathing, not because literally,
like, I'm not, I live at like 10 feet above sea level. I can't play like that. So,
So
it was difficult, but I mean, again, like there was a full crew, and it was, you know, it's like what you're saying. You can just tell, like, when there's enough people there that nobody has to be stressed doing multiple things, it makes a shoot much easier.
Uh-huh. Definitely.
So don't go back to the $15,000.
I don't want to, Danny.
I know.
That's still a good amount of money.
It's still a good amount of money. I mean, $15,000.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, it's good you went that route, because a lot of people nowadays, they can get these things, everything's digital, so you can edit something on your phone and make $1 billion with it. But a lot of people don't know.
Yeah. Is that a TikTok tip?
That's $1 billion idea. No.
$1 billion idea.
Just so flippant, you know, you could just shoot some on your phone, make $1 billion.
No, but you know what I'm saying. Like, people,
$15,000 is a lot of money, and still,
definitely. Could,
yeah. But it's not much compared to a lot of other things showing on the same platform of a feature length that you're right next to.
That's the biggest takeaway, I think, too, is like, you know, $15,000, still a large amount of money. And we made a feature, you know, but that being said, I have also made a short with 50,000, you know, so you can make something with anything. It's just, the experience is going to be different. You know, you're going to have to, if it's lower budget, you just expect the process to be longer and a lot more work.
Plus, if you're me and you don't know how to budget, you're not going to know how much it costs until the end. So you can't be like, look, this is only, this much.
Does that happen to you, Mike?
No. I do have a story about being up a mountain, if you want to hear it. I was cast in Cabin Fever by Eli Roth off of my demo tape, not even for auditioning for him. And flew down to rural North Carolina and went up a mountain, and trained with a police dog, and rehearsed my scene, and went to lunch and got fired, and went back to the hotel and went home the next day. And I'm only reminded of it because I still get residuals for a film I did not appear in.
Amazing. Wow. Thanks.
Good union, right? I have my kvetches with SAG and AFTRA now that they're together.
Oh my God, dude, that honestly is something that's like, I mean, I know it's a, I mean, it happens all the time. It happened to you, fired from an acting gig. That's a fear. Like, I mean, that's a fear of any actor. I don't know. I have so many questions.
Imagine being, you know, thousands of feet up a mountain when it happens, you know, hard to breathe.
Okay. I see what you're doing here.
That's where the filming location was.
Were you having trouble breathing because you were at a high altitude?
That wasn't the reason I was having trouble breathing. I bought some North Carolina farmer weed from a PA, and I have told this story before on the pod, but it was just about 6 weeks after 9/11, and I tucked that baggie down in between my butt cheeks to fly back home to New York, and the same guy with the Southern Baptist Leadership Conference tote bag sat next to me on the two plane flights, the little regional plane back to Atlanta and then the Atlanta to LaGuardia flight, sat right next to me in the waiting room and then on the plane, on both planes. And every time I farted, it smelled like good weed. Good North Carolina farmer weed.
Why don't you instantly go to the bathroom and take that shit out?
Where was I going to put it?
another bag. You always bring two bags. One for the
always
up the butt, one
two
to put
bags.
It in.
You understand. Jeremy. You understand. Yeah. This was right after 9/11. It was 6 weeks after 9/11. Yeah. So there was like restrictions on all that type of stuff. There's only
bags.
One place. There's only one place I could put it, and I left it there. I did not
dislodge it. Pre 9/11, I was just putting weed in my socks. And like rolling joints in my socks, and then just
he would roll joints with his toes while they were
still disgusting.
In.
I would never do that.
It sounds like sounds like a Shel Silverstein character.
Shane, have you ever been fired from a job?
I don't think I have.
Think about that. And before you answer, I just wanted to say I wanted to finish a thought that I was interrupted on.
I'm sorry.
That
who
is,
interrupted you?
It was
everybody.
Probably me.
That is back to the filmmaking thing, because I spent my entire life filmmaking, making films, making things, wanting to be a director, wanting to be whatever. I think a lot of people miss that when they make these things on iPhones or like whatever. They can't just pop in and be a director. They can't pop in and be an AD. They can't pop in and do props. They can't
wear just one hat. You're talking
learning,
about you have to wear all the hats at once.
You have to wear them all. And if somebody just makes it on an iPhone and then gets a film deal, which happens,
a billion dollar film deal.
Okay, let's say $500,000. But regardless, the craft of filmmaking is important, and it's important that you did it the right way. That's my point. So moving on, next
right
question.
Yeah.
in related news, Jeremy is getting his 60th anniversary button from the Filmmakers
from Star
Guild.
Wars.
Next.
Yeah.
Hey, wow.
Star
hey,
Wars.
Proud of
Shane,
you.
Shane, I'm doing a low budget, and I'd like you to be the principal actor. Would you be interested?
Cool.
Is this a joke? I feel like screams this
he,
is a
he's
joke.
He's going to answer your question that he just asked right quickly, I think is what he's doing.
You can't
just,
stop
I
from
want
snickering.
You, so, I'm really, I know
I've
I can't.
Missed whatever
yes
bit
no,
setup
right
this
now.
Is.
No,
I've
there's
missed
no
it.
Bit setup. I'm asking you if you'd like to be involved
okay,
in my next
yes,
project.
I would love to.
That's great. So you're agreed.
Yes.
Well, you're and, fired.
Okay, great. I've been, well, there it's you all- have it. I got the
bit
now.
I was
now.
Just trying to help.
But now yeah, an actor.
You
somebody.
Can check that. You can check that off your bucket list is what he's trying to say.
I got fired. Yeah, there you go. Well, two things just flooded me is like there was always as an actor who, you know, I need parts. I need to build my career right now. So there was this little flush of like, oh, wait, is Danny actually making a movie? Is Danny no. like. So
hey,
I got
that's
a little
fair.
Excited.
That's
and then
not
I saw
fair.
His face.
Shane. The only reason we haven't put out Los Angeles is because your takes are so terrible.
Well, that's not
wow.
true.
That's not true.
Because that was the best
true.
Performance I've ever
that was,
had.
That's not true. That was a that, I, look. I, Jeremy will finish editing that one day in life, and he'll put it out.
No, he won't.
It's basically done. It's just we don't. It's the just, worst story. The worst written. The
when
worst,
I when
it's
I
just
no,
not
just,
good.
It's not. That's not true.
It looks great.
That's not Edward true.
Shot it. Looks
that's
amazing.
Not true. Mm-hmm.
When I meet people
Rob Michael
working
Hugel,
on set.
Rob Michael Hugel watched it and loved it and enjoyed it.
And
wow.
he's tough to please.
How about this? We'll put it out with this episode. There we go.
I dare you. I fucking dare you.
For the Patreon. For the Patreon people.
Do it. I dare you.
I fucking double dog.
Do it. Do it.
Double dog dare you.
Double dog dare you.
No, but to like truthfully answer your question, I've never been fired until, well, obviously this
today,
is a podcast.
Right?
Until today. But I did have a situation happen because I went public about this a year ago. And Danny knows this about me. I believe Jeremy knows this too, but I have a neurological condition that affects my speech. So every now and then you'll hear a little breathiness.
I just read up on it, honestly, yeah. earlier today. So I'm also aware and I support
Oh, right
it.
On. Okay. So it's called spasmodic dysphonia. I don't like to, you know, boast that I'm suffering. I'm not suffering. There are people that suffer with this condition. Mm-hmm. There are people that I'm talking to at like support groups and all kinds of things. That it's heartbreaking and completely ruins their lives. They lose their jobs. They you know, everything. So I'm kind of starting, you know, with whatever platform I have to raise a little bit of awareness of it because nobody knows about it. So a year ago, I made a short film called Cookie. That was the short film I was talking about to ultimately raise awareness for the condition. But going back, there was I did have an incident where I didn't get fired from a job. But
you felt like you were experiencing some discrimination or
No, they cut my lines in half. So I had a full scene on a show. I don't want to say the show because the director was a great guy, but like I wasn't in a place of confidence to say, this is what I have. Let's work together on this. You casted me, you brought me here. I'm a goddamn co-star. So it's like not that big a deal. So I wasn't in that place of confidence to say anything. So my go-to back then was to be like, oh, I'm kind of sick. I don't know what to do. I'm kind of sick. You know, I would crumble. I would internally crumble. And then it would make my condition that much worse because people with spasmodic dysphonia, when they're put in situations of stress and anxiety, it's increased. So that was like a nightmare situation and something that honestly for years is like kind of haunted me. And as far as acting, because I'm like, I don't want to end up on a set and then like lose my opportunity because I can't say something. However, this certain director wants me to say it, which can happen. They, you know, sometimes want you to say things a certain way.
Specifically, right.
Yeah. So, I mean, that is a little bit of a fear that I still have. Definitely don't really give a shit as much as I used to. But yeah, so that was an experience where I didn't lose a job, but it definitely, you know, cut back the opportunity a little bit.
And you felt affected by it. At the time.
Yeah, I really did. It messed with me for a while, you know, because it became like something that would just creep in with every audition, almost like, oh man, if I book this, I hope I don't lose it, you know,
right, it's hanging out in the back here.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. So, you know, another reason I went public is to also just start letting go of the bullshit, you know, that comes with like covering up something about yourself that affects you so much. And it's been really freeing. It's a process. I'm not like to the end of the line yet, mentally, as far as like confidence goes with it, but I've come quite a long way. But it's funny, you know, like I saw that the same director probably a year after I was like doing background work on another TV show that he was on. And he remembered me and I went up to him. I was like, hey man, how are you doing? And he's like, he remembered it, which even I think made it worse. Oh, he's like, oh yeah, you were sick that day. It was crazy.
He associated you with the condition.
Exactly. And like, that's like one of my fear too, is like, I don't want people to like, oh, Shane's this guy, you know, whatever. Like, cause I kind of also wanted to make Cookie, not only to raise awareness, but like, there are people that I've met that wanted to be actors, wanted to be performers. And I want them to, you know, it is going to be harder for those types of people to do this, to go and be an actor, be a performer, but I don't want anyone to not go for it, you know?
Yeah.
Like, even if like, this is their voice, like, just know that it's what makes you unique. Like you
everybody, have to, exactly. Everybody has challenges and every single part of you is what you bring to your job, whatever it is you do, your life, whatever it is you do in your life. That doesn't even have to be something that you do for money. We're always obsessed with this sort of your work is what makes you your life. And I define myself that way for a long time.
Yeah.
Part of me still is, you know, I'm a rigging electrician during the week and stuff like that. But I'm very happy to be a dad as well. And I don't get paid for that. In fact, I pay for the privilege.
I love that.
Some of the things you were saying after, like, it's funny because Mike and I both, not funny, but we had an episode way back in the day where I think we both sort of crashed separately without even knowing as far as like depression goes and seeking help, which is always
Jeremy stayed on his meds. I went off. That's a difference.
But that's okay. But the point is you ask for help. And I think that is the biggest step to anything, because a lot of people, especially where I grew up, probably where you grew up, Shane, like people don't necessarily like say, hey, I have this thing. I'm just going to go talk to a therapist, because it's completely like it's not something for Chinese.
It's not something for men to do. It's not something for all, you know, there's all different stereotypes about it.
But it's funny, and I know I'm sure you've gotten tons of praise, but it's crazy to think that how many people have contacted us either individually or on the podcast saying like, thank you for talking about it. Thank you for, you know, bearing your soul a little bit, you know, and so it's hard to get it out there, but it's important. It's very important.
Oh, yeah.
Very important to cleanse your soul like that a little bit. And it's not weak to ask for help. It's not a, you know, I think that's another part of it. We live in this world of, we're seeing it now, obviously, come to fruition and a lot of the politics stuff.
In a rough way, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's just like, drop the fucking manhood bullshit and just go get help. Just ask for help. Talk to somebody.
For sure. I mean, I grew up in Central Florida, so I grew up in the South, and you know, where it was like, oh, be a man, toughen up, don't cry, you know, all that bullshit. It's bullshit. And it took me, you know, I don't want to say it took me leaving Florida, because I started, you know, I feel like I started, you know, changing my mindset about certain things. It's not Florida. It's just like, you know, those, you know, tough, certain types of people that live everywhere. They live everywhere.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, like for, like I said, for years, it was a part of me that like I held and never wanted to talk about. And I feel like a lot of people have something similar, something that maybe they need to like, let go, get off their chest. Yeah. And like, you know, I always said, like, it was funny. I was like, man, when I get to whatever platform that I'm seeking in acting and entertainment, I want to be a voice for these people. I want to help these people. And then it like kind of hit me like a year ago, you know, when I came up with the idea to make Cookie, I was like, why am I waiting for whatever, you know, like what, you know, it's like, I just need to do it now, you know, and
get it
and
out.
Also, and get this story out, and also open up about this, because it's consumed me. It consumed me.
Yeah. I don't think I knew when I first met you, I think we had worked on comedy stuff a little bit here and there, but I obviously could tell that, you know, there was something, but I didn't, you know,
and most people didn't even know.
I think we were on the phone, and I think that I said something. I was made a, you know, stupid joke. I was like, what are you doing, digging to shit or something? And you're like,
Danny was real mean about it.
I was a real fucking, I mean,
shocking.
I'm shocking. I'm kidding.
Yes. No. But see, I remember that shit too, because I felt shitty for.
No, dude. And the thing is like, it is still such an unknown condition. Like only 50,000 people in the United States suffer from it. You know, so I get people almost on a daily basis coming forward telling me two things. I didn't know what this condition was. I didn't know you had this condition. And it's not like I said, I'm not suffering. It doesn't affect me in any other type of way. But it's also so new. It was just like really kind of, I believe, discovered in the 70s. And there's no cure. There's only temporary treatments, which is Botox injections directly into the vocal cords, which is a nightmare.
What?
I could dive into. I tried it three times.
Beverly Hills, baby.
my neck looks gorgeous though, right?
Yeah, I was gonna say the youngest neck. Yeah, Rodeo
youngest drive. Neck, baby.
Maybe I did that, but I just got fourth chin.
Hey. Well, you did it in the wrong place, man. Clearly. No, but I did it, and it was excruciating. And for the people that can, they can do it as frequent as they need to, the people that suffer, man, more power to them, because it was no fun. After the third attempt, I was like, with all due respect, doctor, I am never effing coming back here ever.
The needles, fuck this.
Yeah.
How long would that treat you for?
4 months.
So you have to do it every 4 months?
Pretty much.
With the changing of the seasons.
Pretty
in
much.
LA, in LA, because there's only three seasons in LA.
That's right. Yeah. But
you never know what people are going through under the surface. Everybody's at a different stage in their lives. In as much as you can try to assess from the outside, and even what people say about themselves, you can never tell what's going on.
Exactly.
100%. That's what I've found. You know, I got this condition when I was like 5 or 6. The thing is, you know, over the years I've learned there are really genuinely two types of people when it comes to like most people. You never even notice it. I mean, there's also the types of people that when they do notice it, they question it from a place of, you know, curiosity and not a place of judgment. And then you have people like Danny that like, I'm kidding. I'm totally joking. But there are other types of people that judge it in a very negative way. And then like that happened to me even, it does not happen often. Cause I also think, you know, I'm a bigger dude. It doesn't happen often that people are gonna be like, hey, asshole, what's wrong with your voice? But no, it happened as frequent as like, I think February. I was doing a comedy show right before the pandemic, and this douchebag like was like, Jesus Christ, you sound like you're dying. And like, it was just like this, how I'm talking to you guys, like very, very little, but he like, he lasered in on something that was different about me. And I know that people like that are only doing it to deflect some insecurity that they deal with.
Right.
You know, so I've become very understanding of those types of people. But also, if you're listening and you're that type of person, just, hey, don't be that way.
Right.
Don't go to shows just to fucking yell at people too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hope you educated him after the show or something.
No, because it genuinely made me crumble. And I regressed a little bit to like a goddamn teenage kid that was like, it just wrecked me. Like, and it never usually affects me like that anymore. But sometimes I think that like we, you know, something can trigger us. We can regress to a time that like, you know, where it was a lot harder. And, you know, that was one of those times, to be completely transparent. So it happened that recent, even though I am now in a place of being in a lot more confidence with it. It's still, you can still be, you know, something can trigger you. Sure. Like,
yep.
You know what
I'm
I mean?
Triggered on daily by these guys.
Yeah, I get it.
Okay. Yeah. Today.
Oh yeah. We're always busting on Jeremy for all kinds of stuff.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PIE, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Shane, do you feel
didn't
like...
Send you the links.
Do you feel like... I'm going to ignore you.
Okay.
Do you feel
me?
Like...
Me? I'm the guest, Danny.
Shane, I'm going to ignore you.
Shane, I'm going to ignore you. That's what he just said.
Putting you on mute.
I was talking to Jeremy.
Okay, sure.
Really? Continue.
I'm just upset that you're so upset with me. That such a
good times.
Come on.
Yeah. Do you feel that since doing the short and being open about what's going on with you, that you feel like it is happening less? Do you think there is some sort of like what you're saying, a correlation with confidence and not?
So the condition's proven to, it's a psychological condition that's triggered by trauma. There's no definite reason why it happens. There's no definite, like I said, there's no cure. There's also every case is different. So for me, I've discovered the more I do, the more I speak, the more creative things I do, the more I'm open about it, the less it tends to happen. It's also weird. Like I can be in a place like I'm really comfortable talking to you guys. So it's barely happening. But then I could be put in a situation where like, I'm just feeling weird energy from somebody and it's like, boom, it starts kicking in. So it's hard to say, but I think so. Like, I think opening up and really not caring as much about what people think has helped. But that's tough. You know, it's also, especially as, it's
getting
tough
there. For getting there.
Yeah.
For sure. It took me 32 years. It took me 32 years to get there. But you know, it's tough. Like, and like I said, my heart breaks for people that suffer, like, cause I'm not suffering with this condition. But there are people that suffer. All right. Let's get back to some silly goose time.
No, it's important. I mean, it's what Jeremy was saying. It's important to just be open and not just do dick and fart jokes all the time.
Yeah. And like I said, people listening, like, you know, it's not, everybody deals with something. And I think that like a lot of times when we are just open about whatever we need to we know we want and need to be open about, it is really therapeutic. And it, a little part of your, I feel like it's like just peeling off onion peels, you know, yep. like until you get to your true self. Deep talks. What the hell?
It's part of the, hopefully the next 4 years, which will be a little more empathetic than where we've been, where at least we can have some, you know, we can start edging towards that world again, which I felt like we were heading that direction.
It feels like we might be, you know, and I'm sure you guys don't want to get into too deep at political talks, but do you guys feel that it's going to, do you have any fears like of like, oh yeah, Biden won, but you know, do you think there's any chance that Trump could weasel his way back in?
Yeah, sure.
I think it's not just him. It's
all his enablers. Everyone. Yeah. But it's from also, the top down. When you have the Secretary of State saying that that he's convinced that there'll be a second Trump term is it's a little terrifying.
Oh my God!
To be quite frank,
it's
but at the end of the day, he'll be gone on January 20th. But the problem is, will he have already
made
so many moves to screw everyone over for the next 4 years because he's a little bitch and he's mad that he lost?
Well, that's what they're worrying about security wise is how much shit is he going to give away in 2 months.
There was a rumor when Clinton was out in 2001 that all the staffers removed all the W's from the keyboards in the White House. That rumors spread around for a while.
That's a great one.
Yeah, after George W. Bush came into office. And I'm wondering if Trump will top that by like just having the staffers steal all the keyboards in the White House. just so nobody knows, nobody can use their computers whatsoever. Yeah.
Also, just a fun fact that every president has a charity that they, you know, form after being president or during their presidency. Trump won't be allowed to have one, period. Because the Trump organization was so corrupt and stole money and did things that he's physically not allowed to have a 501c3.
Well, that's the other thing. If you had the
a fun little tidbit.
If you had the
says
future,
a lot, though.
Yeah.
He's banned from running a charity, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
But that's if you knew, I mean, there's a chance he's going to jail. I mean, it's going to be hard to put a president and a former president at that point in jail. But like, if you were looking at that stuff in a
only
row,
a failure of the imagination
coming out of the presidency, like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, I'm sure that's probably what half the reason why he's doing all this shit and why he's prepped his followers for the last 6 months on
his presidential library is going to have like a $25 admission fee, at least. It's going to be fundraising.
I was going to think
and
like
it's just going to be TVs, different channels manuals. With all
just,
the stuff that he's done.
Just memes,
just
memes.
Dummy manuals.
Did you guys see Michael Moore's new Fahrenheit 11/9 documentary?
No.
It's good to watch now. I think if you watched it before the election, it would be a whole different experience.
Terrifying.
You're saying with some perspective.
Yeah, and also with some hope now that like this is kind of behind, hopefully becoming behind us.
Yeah.
But it's worth watching because it touches on how this guy became president, and it all you know who's all to blame. And this is going to sound like a joke, but this is in the documentary, Gwen Stefani, sort of. So the only reason Trump became president.
was it because I hollered back or was it because?
Because you were a holla back girl.
He knew how to spell banana from Gwen Stefani.
I mean, we all know how to spell bananas because of Gwen Stefani. So it's something to thank her for.
You were saying it's in the documentary.
So it's in the documentary. It's the first thing they touch on is it's not her fault, but so. Trump threw a fit, shocking. He threw a fit because Gwen Stefani was making more money at NBC on The Voice than he was on The Apprentice. So he threw a fit and he staged a fake political rally to film and send to NBC to be like, look how popular I am. Look how loved I am. Look how much I deserve more money. So he staged a fake rally. He liked the experience of that rally so much, he started doing more. And then it snowballed. This fake running for president snowballed into him getting an audience. And it was so built on racism and like in the early on. And it literally turned into from a joke to him really doing it based on that.
Now the country is a joke. Hopefully we're waking up from it.
Yeah, yeah. Hopefully, like, yeah. You know, the next 4 years is going to be really healing and fixing and mending all of the, you know, I mean, I think a lot of the world hopefully just feels bad for us because now they see after the celebrations like that we had when Biden was elected. I think that the world sees the United States that most of the United States didn't support this guy.
Yeah.
You know, he clearly there was some shenanigans.
Don't nuke Brooklyn.
Yeah. Brooklyn's cool, but he has the second most votes of any presidential candidate ever.
Yeah, let's not discount that.
That's scary too.
A terrifying statistic.
Yeah.
And even more
not
so,
necessarily just voting Republican down ballot, but there were people who were just
Jeremy, you were supposed to deliver Ohio for Biden. What happened?
Yeah, what
Cincinnati.
Happened,
Cincinnati got there, but the rest
of
the
and so
state.
Did Dayton. So did Dayton.
It was all those Covington Catholic kids crossing over the river to illegally vote in Cincinnati.
Another thing that the documentary touches on, I highly suggest people to to watch.
You said
it,
it's Fahrenheit 11/9, Shane.
Mm-hmm.
I used to love Michael Moore, and he's sort of grown long in the tooth for me. Or
it's a good one too. Phrase, I can understand where you're coming from, though.
People want to think he's like our Steve Bannon because he's just like doesn't shave, and yeah. I don't think it's that. I don't think it's that easy.
Yeah, I don't think it's that. I mean,
but yeah, it touches on so many things, and the shocking and creepy similarities of his uprising, that how similar it is to Hitler. It's a lot, and it'll blow your mind and also sicken you, but it's definitely worth watching now. I'm glad I watched it after the election and not before. That's what I'm gonna say.
Well, Moore was threatening, you know, only just a few weeks back that Trump was on his way to getting reelected again. And
yeah, he called it the first time, right, Mike?
Yes, and a lot of people were upset about that. Just him simply
saying
that.
It's a good one.
Yeah. Well,
again, he got 70 million votes. So
yeah,
it's terrifying.
Speaking of 70 million, I
that's how many listens we get every
if you want,
day.
If that's the number of voicemails we get at 347-470-8150.
Very good.
Please let us know if you have a problem with anything we said about Danny firing Shane from his first job.
I am gonna hire you for something. Don't worry.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
No.
Right now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What? Do you have an interview?
It's an audio podcast for video only.
You've already lost me.
You're silent? Right. What are you saying? It's a silent podcast.
It's a silent podcast.
It's okay. Elaborate concept.
It's like a film noir style.
It's already been done, actually. My friend in California, Joey Cliff, does a silent podcast where two people legit, when they could sit in person, they would sit in person for 30 minutes in complete silence, and he would record it and then put out that audio.
Cool.
I feel like Johnny Pemberton or somebody did that too. They did an entire blank podcast. But
so what I'm saying, Danny, your idea has been taken.
Yeah, but you said it's a podcast. I'm saying this is a podcast for video. That's a film.
Podcast for video. Oh, right.
Oh,
you're onto something here.
It's a vidcast.
But it's a silent.
So it's a video.
But it's a video of people podcasting.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it's silent.
A guy named John Cale.
In the film, I want you to be my Joe Rogan.
Okay. Yeah.
So go and kick a heavy bag for 20 years.
Yeah.
and do stand up.
Smoke weed with Elon Musk.
In a bunker
in Texas. Make his shares go down just enough so people, you know, buy cheap and then sell high.
I'll do it.
Okay.
Are you going to fire me right now again?
No. You're locked into this now. This is your, we're in this together now.
Sounds promising.
That's
what you said to me. Like, just do it. You just got
to
do it.
You got an idea?
I'm just going to do it.
No judgment.
I did want to.
Actually, you've been recording this whole time that it's just you.
Did we start yet?
I'm taking just your video, and I'm going to take all the audio out of it, and I'm going to put it on. I'm going to make it black and white. And
it's going to be a monologue.
It hasn't been recording.
I'll send you. What?
What? So it's kind of done.
Did we start yet?
No, but we will.
Welcome to the adventures of Danny and Mike.
And I want to do a that's honest and Slate. Clapper. That is genuinely a podcast I want to do where it's just like, it may be like 30 seconds or, you know, some episodes could be longer of just, did we start yet? Because every podcast has that moment.
Yeah, every I always podcast. Wanted to do the hip hop album.
It. We pushed it about 10 minutes in.
Yeah. I always wanted to do the hip hop track.
It's a solid, did we start yet joke length.
Where it's all intros, you know what I mean? So it's like, come on. Turn me up, you know, but never ever sings. It never raps.
Where's my snare?
Yeah. Turn my snare up.
Where's my snare?
Mm-hmm. Dave Chappelle did it.
Yeah. Yeah, I was going to say, I think I've seen that.
Chappelle show?
I've seen that before.
Yeah. Sorry. Sam did it.
Sketch it. Scratch it. Shane, I did want to ask before we go, are you perchance ordering a PlayStation 5 tonight?
I am not, but hopefully Santa Claus is listening. You got it?
I didn't get
the controller.
This
yeah,
is the funny thing that I wanted to bring up is the fact that I got the accessories, but I couldn't pre-order the console. Yeah. So all of my accessories that I ordered, my extra controller, my remote, they're here.
Hell
but
yeah.
I don't have a console to use
Everybody's
them
talking more. About the controller. How does it feel?
Are they it's backwards? Nice. Are they backwards compatible? Can you use them on your PS360?
I believe so. I'm not 100% sure. It's nice. It's more like, it actually feels more like the Xbox one, but it's a little heavier than the original. This is the PlayStation corner, I guess. Uh-huh. But it's nice. I dig it so far. I haven't had all the, you know, I don't have a PS5, so I can't.
Do you get
test
the haptic?
Out
do you get haptic feedback? Does it like vibrate when your
3D audio
gets punched in the face? Mm,
yeah,
you can get people walking.
It has video game smell-o-vision.
Yeah. Guys, I came here to ask video game questions, so I have a genuine one. Right. What is the haptic thing that everybody's talking about?
The haptic feedback? Is just the thing on your iPhone where you push it down and it buzzes you.
It's like responds to touch. It responds to touch. So you remember the Rumble Pack? This is taking it back a little bit.
Yeah,
you
put
the
it
Rumble
in Nickelodeon
in the N64.
Yep.
So that was an early example of haptic. And I think PS2 or PS3 had something called a Thundershock controller something like that.
Yeah. Thunderstick.
Thunderstick controller, yeah. So yeah, these are just ways to sort of
enhance the experience.
Danny was saying about smell-o-vision.
There are a couple sad instances where kids got them stuck up their ass.
Do you have an Apple Watch on? Because that's what that buzz is. That's haptic.
Got it.
If you
yes.
get an alert.
I probably sound like the biggest idiot in the world.
It's okay. I didn't know shit about it either.
We just did an episode where we didn't know nouns and verbs. So, I could, but we did. So don't worry about it.
Don't worry. We recently exposed Jeremy's parts of speech deficiency. So don't
remember though
feel.
How
small town
revolutionary the Rumble Pack was. How freaking exciting that was!
It really made what you call it, not Banjo Kazooie, just easier.
Well, GoldenEye was amazing. That the gun shaking when you would shoot somebody was
made me
want to
go shoot somebody.
Made me want to shoot people.
It reinforced that dopamine hit for sure. Yeah.
Forward today and
shaping our
has,
future.
Yeah.
And now we're here today.
Mm-hmm. I've been playing a lot of Call of Duty just to gear up, and it's like going through, you know, like I was on Fortnite a lot because my nephew plays, but now I've switched to Call of Duty. And it's like if you were a murderer trying to figure out your loadout, that's the game for you because it's amazing, like the exact models of guns, and they're showing you how to load. It's just like, it's fucking insane. I almost went back to Fortnite, but it looks so good. I have to play it.
So you can kill people with like a rake,
colorful guns.
Isn't Fortnite just Call of Duty? Yeah,
with
colorful.
Yes,
guns.
With a kid's version. Yeah,
with glitter instead
up to
of
the
bullets.
You remember that GoldenEye rail gun, right? It's got to be something like that in the one you could see through walls with and you would kill like a rainbow x-ray of somebody as opposed to the actual person.
Remember paintball mode, guys? Remember paintball mode?
Remember big heads and slappers?
Oh, hell yeah.
Guys, can you talk to me in Wolfenstein 3D? Because that's the only shoot 'em up game I really play.
Killing Nazis is something I think we can all agree on. I'd like to go out on a note of unity, and I think killing Nazis is one that we can all agree on.
Nazis.
That's right. And if the country needs help getting somebody out of that White House on January, whatever,
call up all these Fortnite kids.
I've been practicing. Yes. Yeah.
I think we'll need the Super Smash fandom for that too, because they, you know, they found ways to get knocked off the platform and still jump back up again.
Yeah. Oh wow! Yeah.
Yep. just shit, like
we're coming Jumba. For you. Better get out before we take you out. Actually,
thank
now
you,
I,
Shane. That's
oh, the FBI is at the door. I gotta go.
That's all it took.
All right, Shane. How about plugs? What do you? I've already, you know, we've talked about
his hair looks great.
Forums.
His hair looks great, Jeremy.
Yeah, no, it doesn't.
Are you talking about his plugs?
That's
they're
it,
sticking
actually,
out between his backwards
head. It doesn't
look
good. It could look better. Yeah. So the Haunting of Grady Farm. It's on Amazon, iTunes. But you know, we're really
voodoo,
trying to,
I believe you said voodoo,
you can actually even purchase it or rent it on YouTube. So many, many on-demand platforms, The Haunting of Grady Farm. I actually, launched an apparel company that I'm pretty excited about. It's called Donut Punk.
Donutpunk.com.
I took everything that I love in life more than anything.
You featured the hat nicely in the background. I see your hat there in the background.
Yep, that's it.
Protecting the brand. We're big on that here at Danny and Mike Podcast.
I know, and I hope I don't become a brand that you hate.
We won't.
Okay, cool.
No, actually, you greased me with a sweet t-shirt. And you also sent me a face mask. Which is very fucking sweet of you to do.
Hey, man,
there's
you're welcome.
Two other people in this Zoom window. I don't know.
Sorry, you're not coming through. Hold on. What's going on?
I can't hear you.
Okay, well, whatever.
But donutpunk.com. I kind of took like the my two favorite things in this world, donuts and nostalgia, and I'm making clothes about them. So maybe we could do like a Pete and Pete line or something eventually.
We're always down. We like to protect the brand.
Whenever there's a letter X between us and two brands, we're down for
Pete
crossovers.
Pete. Yeah. Donutpunk.com. You can get all the stuff. We got hoodies, beanies, t-shirts, and all that kind of stuff. And then just, you know, find me on social media, Shane Hartline, and we can be friends.
Don't forget tote bags for the Gainesville people.
Don't forget TikTok tips.
Again, TikTok tips.
The three T's of Shane Hartline.
TikTok tips at hotmail.com.
All right, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you very much.
Yeah,
thank you.
Before we go, we are a part of the Last Podcast Network. Check them out, lastpodcastnetwork.com, for all their great shows. Danny was just on an episode of
The Story Must Be Told.
Yes, a very sad tale of a little boy who turns into something.
Spoilers.
I can tell about that. He's sick. Something bad happens to him. It ends up in Florida. So maybe Shane has seen him around.
Ooh, it's American Wang, you know.
And check out our Patreon. Speaking of Wangs, patreon.com/Danny and Mike with the N spelled out. Also, you can find Danny at DTamborelli on the Insta. Oh, you know what? What else? DannyandMike.com. We have a sale right now on our shop, shop.DannyandMike.com.
With
all the
fall
and winter
out.
Gear is 10% off. Check that out. Danny is at DTamborelli on the Twits, at Danny Tamborelli on the Insta. Mike is at Michael C. Marona on the Twitter. I hope he doesn't get any more accounts because it's just less to say. I'm at Remy Balin, Jeremy Balin on other things, Instagram-like. And I have another podcast called Going Dork. Check that out. What else, fellas? I don't know.
Ooh,
I feel like
I
rounded the bowl right there.
You're fired, Jeremy. You're fired.
I'm out of here. Done. Taking my podcast studio and leaving.
Dougs, you're done. I'm out of here. I'm out of here.
Thanks, Shane.
Thank you, Shane.
Thank you, Shane.
Good to see you,
bud. Yeah, thank you.
Bye.
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 Bye. Bye.
The Adventures of Danny and Mike stars Danny Tamborelli and Michael C. Marona. The show is produced by me, Jeremy Balin. This podcast is part of the Last Podcast Network, which can be found at lastpodcastnetwork.com. Make sure to check that out for a ton of great shows. For more information on the guys, visit our website at dannyandmike.com. Also look us up on Twitter at Danny and Mike with the N spelled out, and on Facebook at facebook.com/TheAdventuresOfDannyandMike. Thanks for listening.
This show is made possible by listeners like you. Thanks to our ad sponsors. You can support our shows by supporting them. For more shows like the one you just listened to, go to lastpodcastnetwork.com.